Welcome to the Live Painter Podcast. In the world of events, there's a magical intersection where live painting transforms ordinary gatherings into unforgettable experiences. I'm Jamie, and along with my co-host Amanda, we're here to take a peek behind the easel of live artists all over the world and foster the growth of our own little corner of the events industry, one story, or should we say brushstroke, at a time.
Whether you're a seasoned artist looking to elevate your live painting game, a new artist thinking about the possibility of painting at events, or you're even an event pro just wondering what goes on inside a live painter's head, the Live Painter Podcast has got you covered. So grab your brushes and let's get right into today's episode. Welcome back to the show. As you heard last week, we are continuing our discussion about planners and vendors and working with other vendors and wedding planners as a live wedding painter, and some experiences that people shared with us, as well as some of our own experiences. And again, I will say the same disclaimer that we said last week. This is not meant to be a hit piece about wedding planners in any way, shape, or form. This is just some things that we've observed and that we've definitely seen that our colleagues have observed as well, based on the comments that we got. That seems to be kind of a widespread, you know, issue with wedding planners and sometimes other vendors. So that's all this is. And I hope that you all enjoy the second half of our conversation about this super important topic. Let's get right into it.
I was just going to say, you know, on the subjects of planners, other vendors, professionals, how we want to come off to these people. And, you know, we always talk about professionalism. You know, the best thing we can do, keep going to these events and working as hard as you do and be super professional and set a good example, because that's the only way that word would even potentially spread that, you know, we mean business. Because the more people who go out there and they're having behavior unbecoming of a professional, the more people are going to think that we're a joke, and the more people are going to think that we're not as deserving of timelines and this and that. So, you know, that's why we're doing this podcast, to try to spread that and, you know, go, you know, we want to be treated like professional wedding vendors, so we have to go act like it. And, obviously, I'm saying this, don't go in and like don't smile or anything, but like, you know, you still have fun, but you know, use your common sense. Again, it's so easy to just drift off into the negative.
Yeah.
But like, we've had instances where we've had a planner who's like, now remember, if you want to like very like bold in like her communication, remember, if you want to be shared on Instagram about this wedding, please make sure you are required to follow this account.
Yep.
Or something like that. And I was like,
that was super weird.
I think it, the way it was worded,
the planner worded it in such a way where she implied that Instagram would not allow her to tag a vendor who is not following her.
Yes. It was something like, please understand, know that you are required to follow this account in order for your name to be reshared or something like that. And we're like, we know that's not true.
So we didn't follow her out of spite.
So we know that's not true. You don't have to. I tag tons of, you know, vendors that, you know, we're not following because we don't know them well enough, or I just met them. But, you know, we tag them in the posts.
Yeah.
Like, that's not required. And it was just like, okay, you're just trying to hold this social media share hostage for me to follow you.
I want to talk about the story about this planner. I was going to save this for, like, you know, our preamble before we start an episode later, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So this planner, we're watching an episode of 90 Day Fiancé, okay? And the wedding takes place here in Orlando, in the suburbs of Orlando. And the couple's getting married, and this planner comes on the screen. We're like, oh my God, that's fill in the blank. Let's just call her
Dat Phyllis.
Dat Phyllis. Yes. Yeah. I'm like, whatever. Okay. And then, so Jamie and I have watched probably 20 seasons of 90 Day Fiancé or whatever, and all the spinoffs and everything else at this point. And there's been lots of weddings on these shows, and also like Married at First Sight and Love is Blind and all, you know, all these reality shows that have weddings, they never, ever, ever mention the names of the vendors, or the vendors usually have nothing to do with anything. They're very like, they're in the background. And from what we understand and know from our history of being approached by these types of production companies, it's done that way on purpose, and you get a little shout out in the credits and you do the work for free and that's it. So lo and behold, this wedding planner, there's a talking head with the groom mentioning her by name and saying how amazing she is. And then she's all over the show. And I was like, she obviously made them do that.
As a requirement of her being on it. Of 20 hundreds of episodes of this show, they've never mentioned the name of a planner. They mention this planner.
We're like, by name.
I wonder if she made
that.
She
obviously required that.
It was odd. That would happen.
Yeah, they made this whole, and it's like, I know a lot about reality TV, like too much, and I know how these things work, and it was very obvious within the show that this talking head that the groom was doing was not something that he just decided to say. It was something he was told to say.
Well, they always, on a reality show, when you're getting interviewed in the confessionals, they're always prompted, or they have to like repeat the question so that they can get the soundbite.
Yep.
Because that's what you always hear, like the soundbite is like, so what did I think of the day on the whole? Like, and then they'll like repeat the question so that you don't hear the person. So it was like, okay, they were probably prompted to say that. It usually doesn't happen.
Yeah, that was super weird. And like I said, we've watched not even just 90 Day Fiancé, but like all these different reality shows that feature weddings, and never ever once has a vendor been mentioned at all.
And then
this woman who we know to be kind of
like holding Instagram shares hostage because you have to follow her.
Yeah. We know her to be kind of, what's the word? I guess to put it nicely, eccentric. We know her to be a bit eccentric, and then she happens to be the one that they go out of their way to mention her name, and the groom talks about her. I was like, okay, that was definitely demanded before she signed on with them, which that's the other thing. I don't even get how she got them to do that, because we had a reality show approach Jamie about doing a wedding in the Florida Panhandle, which is 8 hours away from us, and they didn't even want to pay for him for gas money, let alone pay for the painting, let alone pay for him to stay overnight. Nothing. And it was just, this was with MTV, so I guess they're a different production company, but I can't imagine MTV is any different than TLC, based on what I know. So yeah, I don't know how she got them to do that. Yeah, but
that's our experience is, you know, we'll usually get them to buckle and say like, okay, well we can get you gas money if you want. But basically your payment would just be, your name would be in the credits at the end.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. And we're like, nobody watches that. And nowadays, this is a tangent. This has nothing to do with anything. But nowadays, like when you're streaming something and the credits start rolling and that main image like shrinks.
Yep. The credits mean nothing now.
Or it gets like covered up by all the like.
Or
coming
if you're
up
watching on streaming, you just skip it.
Or they automatically skip the credits these days. So I'm like, that's not really a payment at all. I can't pay, hey, mortgage. I got paid in exposure. So yeah. we all have been down. That'll be another story. The exposure.
Yeah. All of this being said, and I don't know, editing these two episodes is going to be a nightmare. So I hope everyone likes them, because it's going to be horrible. But it's going to be my whole entire day tomorrow. But anyway, all of this being said, I really, after sitting down and listening to our original recording, giving it a once over as I usually do, I just really wanted to say some positive things about wedding planners, just so we're not you know, like we keep saying, we're not doing a hit piece here.
Yeah, and even now,
this is not like the VH1 exposed true story of planners or something like that.
And you can hear even now we're drifting into these like negative stories because it's, you know, you start chatting like, oh, and then this one time, and then this one time, and then this one time, and you know, the negative ones stick with you more. So it's just like you were saying, like these jobs are very thankless because when nothing goes wrong,
you don't remember.
It doesn't, you know, have any weight in your mind. So to everyone out there who does work with great people, try to give those little stories a little bit more weight. Give those positive stories.
Well,
some
tell
weight
the person.
And tell them.
Tell
you know?
The person, even if it's not a planner, even if it's some random vendor. Like I always had really great experiences as a planner with the catering staff, and I had several weddings where I was really sick and they like went above and beyond to like, you know, help me and make sure I was hydrated and whatnot. So, yeah. And I worked with, like Jamie said, I work with the same people a lot. I only really worked with two different caterers pretty much every time. And so I got to know them and that was really nice.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, think of how long your day is. Could you just take 2 minutes and write a quick email, say, hey, thank you so much for all your help this weekend. You were really thoughtful.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Can't wait to work with you again.
So I wanted to talk about something a little more on the positive side, I mean, ish, with planners. And that is planner referrals and working with planners and working through planners. And before I get into that, we had actually had a DM, and I'm going to assume that this artist wants to remain anonymous for this. So this artist had said something that Jamie and I have gone back and forth about and definitely can relate to what this artist shared with me in regards to planner referrals. This artist shared with me that they are not pursuing planner referrals and may stop accepting them altogether because they can be just kind of a nightmare, and the artist ends up working with couples they don't gel with. And this is, and if for those that may not know what a planner referral is, this is when you get contacted by a planner. The planner says they have a couple and a date and yada yada, and all your communication is through them, through the planner. Oftentimes they'll be the only person that you speak with up until the wedding day. And obviously, getting a referral from a planner and having a steady stream of those can be really great. But I would have to agree with this artist, actually, because we haven't had really any horror stories per se, but we have had situations where we work with a planner referral and it's just not ideal. It's very impersonal, and doing live wedding painting is a very extremely personal service, and not having as much communication or none in a lot of cases with the couple is often just not ideal. Do you have anything you want to say about that?
No, I would agree. I mean, like you said, it's great. If it's a steady stream of business for you, it's great from that aspect. But at the same time, as much as we talk about this being a business and we're here to make money and this and that, I am an artist. I am a painter.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do has like emotional weight behind it. So in my experience, when we do have an event that I've had a minimal to no communication with the couple, there's a disconnect with me and them. And, you know, I can hear from the planner, oh, they're really excited to have you. I'm like, okay.
How would we know that?
I hope so.
Yeah.
So you have to approach those weddings a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the flip side, you might have a couple that's booked you a year or more out and they're so excited and they love everything you do, and you get there and it's like, it's almost like you're one of the family being there. Mm-hmm. They're so happy that you're there. And hopefully, you know, that's the kind of person that's like, they've already decided they love the painting no matter what.
Yep.
And
we just had one of those this weekend.
Oh,
we were
my gosh.
So sad to
have
this
client's
wedding over.
We just had this wedding this weekend. And how long ago did they book?
I want to say it was about a year. Maybe a year ago.
And my goodness, you know, we have some people I love to like affectionately refer to as my cheerleaders, and mm-hmm. they're always nice to hear from, and they're very supportive. And this bride loved like everything that we did on Instagram, always reacting to stories, and not like in like a creepy way, you know, because it's not like she was obsessed or something. She was just a fan, yeah. and was so excited and would tell us how excited she was all the time.
And we bonded with her because we had some things in common in our personal
lives.
And
let me tell you, I was being nervous for this wedding because it was like no pressure or anything, but you know, we had really become attached to her, mm-hmm. and it was like, can the hype and the expectations be any higher for this?
Well, we had another similar story with a couple who I don't pick favorites, obviously, but this was like a different set of circumstances where we had really gotten to know this bride, and she was just...
We've talked about her before,
and her painting was not...
Oh, don't say that.
Not our favorite painting. It was fine.
It was a good painting.
But it didn't live up to the hype of her.
It's a good painting. Well, sure. Because nothing ever will. Because it would have had to be some magical, perfect painting from on high to equate with how attached we were. Because, you know, when you're in your early goings...
This was like an earlier bride, and...
You know,
many years ago,
you know, back then it was just, it felt like an eternity from the time she booked to her wedding. And mm-hmm. I guess as we get older, that feels like a long, shorter and shorter time. But, it was definitely felt like a different era before and after we had that wedding in terms mm-hmm. of couples, because we were just so, you know, got to know who she was and, you follow her and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, to wrap that back around, I have had the opposite, which is I only talk with the planner. I can't tell if the bride is happy. Maybe there's minimal feedback in her survey about what she wants in her painting, and then she'll throw a curveball my day. Or maybe I will never hear from her and then finish her painting and then spend 6 weeks trying to email and get her painting back to her and never hear from her again. That never didn't not happen.
That definitely happened. I don't know how much of this I'm going to leave in there because I don't want anyone. I do know some of our couples. I've found out that some of our couples do listen to this. I don't want anyone to ever think that
we have favorites,
like them any less or more than anyone else. Like, we're grateful for every single person that we work with. It's just, there are some times that we just, by happenstance and, you know, things play out that we get really attached to, you know, certain couples, like they become more like our friends almost. And it's like when those weddings happen, we're just sad that they're not something that we can look forward to anymore. And, that's that. I think that's with everybody, with any interaction you have.
This is a good way to say, like, if for some reason there is a bride working, or if I think we've kind of changed almost like our, I wouldn't say we require this of our clients, but, you know, if you're working in one of these planner only situations, talk to the planner and say, hey, I'd love to set up a phone call with the couple.
Yeah.
And make sure that you get that connection with them. Even if you really just, your communication with them has been pretty low, I think it's super helpful to A, get them excited, B, get you excited to do their wedding, because money is obviously motivating, but you're always going to be more motivated when you know the person and you're excited. Yeah. You try to be excited for them and you're painting them. So you want to be able to show their personalities and all that kind of stuff too. So
I should also mention too, we're only talking here about, like times when we have no access to the couple. I'm not talking about like the planner happened to get in touch and then from there we're working with the couple. That's not what I mean.
Oh yeah. We've done some weddings that I've not had one word with the couple at all.
Yeah.
And it's a little nerve wracking because you don't
that's
know.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. That's the case where like, you don't know if they're excited or not.
We're not talking about like, you know, every so often we have a local planner that's like, hey, can you do this one? And they facilitate the relationship and we take it from there with the couple. That's not what we're talking about. But yeah, this is like, and I don't know that we've even had that many of these, to be honest.
No, but we
maybe a dozen.
We have pretty much made it a policy that if we have a planner come forward and want a book at some point, I think we're trying to say, hey, I would love to say, like, hey, before we go ahead and book, we'd love to hear from them. Just yeah. So we know that we're yeah. a good fit and all that.
Usually, most of the time, if we're working with a planner, the couple will be copied on it, and it's like a thread of an email between everybody, and that's
helps. Fine. Yeah,
that's fine. A different situation. That's not what we're talking about, but that's another thing that I'm just going to get into, and if I have to cut it out, I will. There's something with planners where we just had another wedding this weekend where the planners were very overzealous in trying to get us to communicate with them first when we had not booked through them. We had not booked through the couple, and we were getting all these emails like 6 months ago from them, like, you need to copy us on every email, and you need to send me their contract, and you need to do blah, blah, blah.
Oh, the contract thing.
And it's like, so first of all, we don't know you from Adam. This is someone we never worked with before. We don't know you from Adam, and there's just sometimes planners will have this very, like, they're our boss type of attitude when they get in touch with us, and it's like, let's slow your roll, first of all. Nice to meet you. If the couple has okayed it, which we need to see in writing, then we can send you certain information, but we're not sharing our contract with you. Not only that, but the couple has it. Why do you need it from us? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And this whole, like,
I could very well make, like, a fake email and say, like, oh, hey, I'm the planner for
exactly.
this. If you could send over their if you ever get a planner who is very insistent on you sharing their invoice, their contract, this and that,
when you haven't booked through them
and
they're coming in, yes, like 2 months before.
Yeah. Cause what'll happen is we book a couple and then they take on a very full service planner that is usually responsible for collecting payments and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm, which is fine. And I have no problem with that, but like, you need to be like, hey, we're happy to help you, but you know, we do need to get an official okay from the bride, mm-hmm, or couple, I should say, that we're allowed to do this because it might have personal information in there, all that kind of stuff. So there's nothing wrong with that.
No, of course not. But it's just like sometimes the just demanding nature of it is a little much. But I want to go ahead and move on here. I had asked some questions a few months ago on Instagram regarding planner referrals and working with planners, and I wanted to share that, and then we'll go into one last little discussion, and then we can wrap this up. So the first question I asked was, I had asked about planner referrals, and for those that accept planner referrals, where in case you need a refresher, this is a wedding where the planner is inquiring with you, and you're booking through the planner. Sometimes the planner is inquiring, and then you're handing it off, or they're handing it off to the couple. But for the most part, you're working with the planner for the booking process. So I asked what percentage of clients come from these referrals for those that do accept them. So 38% of people said none. They said none, which I thought was really interesting. I don't have access to it now because it's an old Instagram store, but I wish I could see who had said that, just because I know for the most part where everybody's located. So I would be interested to see if this is like a geographical thing or what, but 54% of people said 10 to 25% of my business comes from planners, which I would say we're a little lower than 10 probably, but that's probably where we would land. And then 8% said 25 to 50% of my business comes from planners, and no one said that over 50% of their business comes from planners. So what that tells me is that for those that are accepting planner referrals, they are not making up the majority of your business in any sense.
Which makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So another thing I was really interested to hear, because I'm sure there's people listening to this that are like, I don't ever have planners at my weddings. Like, why do you need a planner? Yada, yada. And that's totally fine if that's you. You can just ignore everything we just said. But we like to have someone there that's in charge. I think it scares me when we get a couple that doesn't have a planner at all. I'm like, who's responsible if something goes wrong? It should not. If any couples are listening to this, please make sure you have somebody, even if it's just a venue coordinator or whatnot, someone that's going to be there for the duration of your event. Because, you know, I've had events where people have to go to the hospital. I've had vendors and brides yelling at each other. I've had all kinds of drama in my time planning, and you don't want that to fall on you. You want to be able to enjoy your wedding. So make sure you have somebody that's going to be there the whole time. Just that's my PSA of the day. But
well, otherwise you get like your mom running around and she's trying to collect flowers and she's trying right. to put the thank you cards somewhere and all that kind of stuff. And
right.
It can be a lot.
This next question was, how many of your weddings have a dedicated event planner or venue coordinator? 5% of people said that every single wedding that they do has a wedding planner. 0% said that none. So everyone has had a planner at some of their events. 48% of people said that around 20 to 40% of their weddings have planners. And 48% of people again said that 60 to 80% or most of their weddings have planners. So it sounds like the majority of people, at least a quarter of the time you have one, if not three quarters of the time. So, you know, it's a pretty regular thing for people to have a planner at their weddings.
It's rare to me these days when someone doesn't have anything.
So then the next question I had asked was, is having a wedding planner a necessity for you on your event day? And the majority of people, 57%, said I prefer to have a planner present on the wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
4% of people said I absolutely need to have a planner. 39% of people said I'm okay either way, whether or not there's a planner there. And then no one said I prefer not to have a planner. So sounds like most people feel the way that we do.
Well, yeah, it's
but we did have a lot of people say I'm okay either way, so I'd love to hear if you had answered this. Is you probably don't even remember if you answered this, because these questions are from several months ago, but I would love to hear if you had answered that you don't mind not having a planner, what your procedures are with things like arrival times and making sure that you have the supplies that you need and getting a vendor meal and whatnot. If anyone wants to share that with me, I would love to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know what to add to that. I would say as much as we have issues with planners that we've worked with, they're really important. And it's obviously important to have a planner who knows what they're doing and is professional. But at the end of the day, just having a body there, even if you didn't have the greatest relationship with them, is still super helpful, because you might need to say, hey, can I store my cart somewhere of my stuff? Can I, do you mind if I use this power outlet? Do you mind if I go borrow the couple to show them the paint? Like all that kind of stuff, like having somewhere directing track. It's like a musical or a play. Like you need to have a director.
I compared it to that all the time.
Telling all the moving parts. There's so many moving parts. You need to
They're
know.
They're the stage manager. They're not the director. Sure. They're the stage manager.
Yeah. You need to say, okay, once the ceremony's over, someone has to have noted that the flowers are going to be coming into the reception tables.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be something that someone has written on a timeline or, and I would even say, like, even weddings that don't have a planner, usually someone has stepped up to take the role of a planner.
Yeah.
I had one where the mother of the bride was like, she was like better than most of the planners that I've worked with. She was so good. And like, I don't know if she had done event planning in like another lifetime, but she just had everything, every question answered. Having someone like that adds a level of comfort to the whole day that lets everyone breathe a little bit better and just makes everything go way more smoothly.
Yeah. So lastly, and then I will say my final piece on planners, and then we will move on with our lives. I had asked, what has your experience been like working with planners and coordinators? Be honest. So we had 35% said, I always or usually have a good experience. The majority, 43%, said, I have had some good and some bad experiences. 4% of people said, I've had mostly negative experiences. And 17% of people answered that they have not worked with too many planners yet, so they didn't have an opinion. So that sounds pretty much right on the money with where we are. And I want to say this before we finish this up. Being a wedding planner is one of the hardest jobs in the world. It's incredibly difficult. You have so many different people you're responsible for. You have to work with all different kinds of personalities. You have to deal with mothers of the bride, you know, period. So that's its own thing. For those, if anyone's a planner that's listening to this, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's a really, really, really hard job. So I don't say any of the things that I just said in the past two episodes to say that anyone's lazy or they don't, you know, whatever. I don't mean this as, you know, some kind of hit piece on planners. That's not what I was trying to do with this episode. I just think a lot of planners need to always be learning. And if there's a new vendor category that is popular, it's not in your best interest to act like you're too good to work with that person or that they don't matter, because you really have no idea how that, you know, is affecting your couple, which is what you're there to be focusing on.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think we've just over the past couple years have seen this in a lot of professions. We have, obviously, live painting has really exploded over the last couple years. And from anecdotal discussions I've had with planners that I like, that's been the case with planners as well, where
absolutely, yep.
There's just been kind of an explosion of people who want to be wedding planners all mm-hmm. of a sudden. And
they don't put in the effort to actually do the job well.
You know, they come in, there's no training behind it. There's no mm-hmm. experience behind it. So a lot of things that we see wind up being like really rough around the edges. And, mm-hmm. You know, whenever I get a planner that I love working with, I'm always like, thank you for your communication and for your thoughtfulness and just, you know, making sure that all the working parts of this day are going well, and, you know, for respecting me as much as you respect anyone. And they're always like, oh yeah, sure. I mean, that's all my vendors. And, oh, you know what I was going to say earlier that now that I'm remembering it, the only time, by the way, I think it is okay for us to chase down a planner, because obviously it's like the planner should be saying like, hey, who are your vendors?
When
it is a surprise.
That's different. That's a different.
Yes. It's subject. A different discussion. Yeah. But I will say, if anyone is like a gift from a maid of honor to the couple or something like that, if you have that planner information, make sure you get in touch with that planner.
They might not know.
Because the person giving the gift might not know that they're supposed to put you guys in touch. So I just want to make sure I got that out there as a fun tip for people who are doing different kinds of situations.
Yeah, definitely. If you're a surprise, it's always honestly kind of shocking to me, even when, like, for example, we just had a sister of the bride and she knew the planner's information. She knew everything. So that was great. We were able to do that. But, you know, that's a little bit more of a complicated situation. The point of this is that, like I was saying earlier, in my dream world, a planner will listen to this and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe I could be a little bit more forthcoming in my communication with some of the vendors that are maybe, in my mind, lower on the totem pole. That's all I'm wanting from this. And it's like we've seen with all the comments we got. I didn't even share all of them. I shared maybe half that we got in regards to this subject. This is a industry-wide problem that planners are not treating painters the way that they should. So if you are listening to this and feel like the information is valuable, if you have a planner in your life that you love, maybe share it with them. That's all that I'm going to say. Yeah. Hopefully that makes sense.
We're trying to plant seeds that will hopefully blossom into
right.
good professionalism amongst everyone.
The last thing I want to just throw on the end of this episode, I had thought about this recently because I'll just say what it is. The subject is one of the most controversial subjects of the moment within the world, not with weddings, but in the world, that is tipping. So I have been thinking about this lately because it's just so random when Jamie gets a tip and when he doesn't, and we don't ask for tips. And in my mind, honestly, it doesn't really, if we never got a tip again, I wouldn't really be crying about it because we should be pricing ourselves in a way that we don't expect tips or need them to function. But whenever we get like a card from a couple, which usually has a tip in it, that's what I look for. It's like when the couple's written like this nice note about like how excited they were and yada yada, it really makes you feel like you've done a great job and like you've added something to their day. So I was just really curious about other people's kind of methodology with tips and whether or not they accept them, whether or not they ask for them, and what people do. So I'd ask just a couple of little yes or no questions. The first one was, do you accept tips or do you not? And 97% of people said that they do. And we actually had more responses on these poll questions than any other ones that I've ever done before. So there was a lot. But yeah, 97% of people said that they do accept tips. And then next I had asked, do you ever suggest tips if you accept them? So for example, putting out a tip jar or saying like, you know, maybe somewhere in your contract, gratuity is appreciated or, you know, what have you. And 6% of people said that they do suggest tips or they have in the past. And 94% of people said that they accept tips, but they do not suggest them, which that's the category that we are in. And then finally, I asked for those who do accept tips, but they do not suggest them. So what I was just saying, where you will take or accept a tip from someone, but you in no way suggest it or expect it.
You didn't preempt the idea.
You didn't preempt it. I said, how often, if you're in that category, do you actually get a tip? The majority, 64% of people said they get a tip 20 to 30% of the time, which I would say that's about the category that you're in. Maybe a little lower than 20. Maybe a little lower than 20, but somewhere around there.
It's like once on average, like once or twice a month, maybe. Yeah.
And then 27% of people said they get tips 40 to 60% of the time. 5% of people said that they receive a tip at most or all of their events. And 5% of people said, I have never received a tip or received them rarely. So I just thought that was interesting. I personally, and I don't know, again, because I can't see who answered this, but I would really encourage you to not suggest tips if it is up to me, because at the end of the day, it's especially not a tip jar. I really hope that no one that answered that has that, because that's, in my opinion, and I don't mean this as any kind of offense to anyone who might be listening who does this, I think it's a little unethical if you're being paid by the couple to be there for you to have a tip jar out for guests to give you tips, because you've been paid by the couple already. That's just my opinion.
I think a tip jar makes sense in certain locations. Like if you're at like a pizza place, mm-hmm. and you know the employees there are not getting paid a ton, so yeah. that's a little bit extra.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like if you're one of these, like a dueling pianist at a bar somewhere, yeah. and you're taking requests and the tips are kind of in exchange for some kind of personalized service like that. in our case, we're a luxury thing that's being paid well to go perform a service somewhere.
You should be getting paid well.
And I have gotten approached by like a family member who's like, they see I'm working really hard and they want to come up and...
Didn't someone give you like a rude comment one time and then their wife came up and gave you a tip?
Yes.
Or something like that?
Yes. What happened was... I had a table. I was painting in like the corner of the room, and there was a table behind me, and this woman, and she was trying to be funny, and I got that she was trying to be funny. I didn't read it into this, and she goes, the bride really looks like her here, but I just don't know about the groom. And I was like, I think she did actually get me. I thought she was being serious. Now that I think about it,
well, because people do say things,
like and that. I was like. Excuse me? Like the way she said it was very rude. And also I have at this point I've got a pretty good I'm able to self-critique myself. And this was like one of those instances that like I knew I was doing a good job on the couple and it looked like them. And I was like, what? I was like, I'm about to go crazy. And I turn around and she's like, oh, no, I'm just kidding. She was like, just joking. I was like, you're kidding, but people do say stuff like that. And she was like, really? I'm like, oh, yeah, all the time. And absolutely. People just sometimes have no filter or they've been drinking or whatever. And she was like mortified. Like she was just trying to be nice. And then within the next couple hours, I think we had maybe exchanged a couple of like
pleasantries
throughout the night because they're at the table next to me. And then the husband or whoever, boyfriend, I don't know who he was, he comes up and he's like, hey, man, this is for you. I was like, oh, you really don't have to. He's like, no. And he like insists. I was like, okay, thank you so much. And he slipped me like a little bit because like they felt bad. And like I would say this, if a family member like that feels like they want to do that for you, I think it's okay to let them do that personally.
I remember one of my favorite stories. I don't know if you even remember this. One of your first weddings down here, I was actually at the wedding.
Yes.
And we got to chatting with this older couple. I don't remember if they were related to the couple at all. Maybe it was like a grandparent or like an uncle, but they were this older couple. And the husband, so he was just chatting with us like all night. And he eventually was like, I really wanted to go and do art and I never got to. And I think this is so great what you're doing. And it was just so cool. And then he like slipped us like a $20 bill or something like that.
That's so cool. So nice. Like I can understand the argument of someone saying, hey, listen, I really appreciate this, but I've been taken care of by the couple. So please, I appreciate it, but you don't have to do that. I can understand that. On the other hand, I'm like, if someone is really feeling nice enough that they want to do that, I think it's okay to let them. Like, if the shoe was on my foot, you know.
I would be so sad. As some people know, when I want to give a big tip to somebody, I really overly.
Oh, you go all out.
I overly tip people that are doing a really good job because I just want them to know like how much I appreciated them, and I just like really really will like give people a huge tip, and it's like I would just be so sad like if somebody like, for example, probably the biggest example I'm thinking of is we did this true crime tour in New Orleans, and the amount of the tip that I gave the gentleman at the end of it was like twice what we had even paid to do the tour. But he was just so amazing.
He was so good.
He was amazing. I was like blown away.
The best like storyteller I've ever heard in my life.
It was like an experience I will never ever forget as long as I live. And
crazy.
I thought it was a normal amount to give, which apparently I gave too much, but you know, I was just really thankful that we got to have that experience, and he was really cool, and we got to see all this stuff in New Orleans that maybe, and he like knew some of the people he was talking about on this tour. So,
yeah. And as I've learned many years ago, when I used to work at the Painting with a Twist, The phrase I always heard was tips are never expected, but always appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So we would never bring up the idea of tipping.
I think it's really...
But if someone were to ask, like, hey, do you usually get tips? You would say, hey, tips are always we're very grateful. We accept them, but we appreciate them. They're never expected.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the idea of putting out a tip jar or saying something like, hey, if you think that you had great service, gratuities are always appreciated, because to me, that is kind of like putting too much pressure on the client to feel the onus to tip at all when they may, because I know a lot of people stretch their budgets for these paintings.
I was just going to say, like, this might be a splurge for somebody. They might not even have anything left over, which is, I'm not saying that as a judgment. I wouldn't either. I'm just, I don't think it's really appropriate to be asking people for more than they're already paying.
Sure.
And the one exception for that, I always say this whenever I talk about the subjects, and usually this is included in the contract, is there is usually a mandatory gratuity for catering serving staff. Because they're making like an hourly rate to be there. That's probably not
that high. And that's like a team of people.
That's the only exception to this.
And the difference that the only thing that we will typically, but every now and then we will bring up the issue would be
asking for a review.
If we feel that someone had a really good experience, we might say, hey, there's no rush. There's no pressure to do this at all. Usually the way I would do this is, let's say someone writes something nice on Instagram, like, hey, loved having you painted our wedding. You were amazing, blah, blah, blah. Or they say that in an email, at which point I would use that as a jumping point to say, hey, thank you so much for your kind words. There's no rush or pressure at all to do this, but if you ever feel like you want to put those words in the form of a review, we're always really appreciative of that. They really help us out a lot. And you were kind of saying that before, where a good review or like a card, is priceless.
Yep.
Because
I save every single, if we get a card from a couple, I save every single one.
Yeah.
And, we have, right now they're in the closet because we haven't unpacked our house, but it's like, that is like what keeps me going, really, when things are rough, as I can look at that and be like, wow, look at all these people that really appreciated having you at their event. And it's just so nice.
Yeah. And then
it means so much.
And then in a more selfish way, the reviews are obviously, a public way of saying, hey, these are all the people that were really happy with their service and were, this kind of loops back to planner talk, but if there's any reason why we would hope that a planner would show us just as much respect as any other vendor, is because, and maybe they're humoring me, but we hear countless times from couples that the wedding painting was their thing that they were the most excited for.
Yeah.
And even if they are humoring us, that's fine. But like, to say that, it means a lot, where the first thing we got when we got home was we hung the painting. This was the first, people say this is the first thing that I booked and we were so excited and I've been waiting for this and I've told my family. People talk to me at these weddings, like they know that I'm coming and they looked me up because the bride has told them.
Yes, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like just this weekend, people were like, oh, I hear you're adding the kittens to the painting.
Oh, you didn't tell
me that. I forgot
to
tell you that.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my gosh, they've been like talking about me, and that's quite an honor. So, when people kind of are dismissive of us in the leading up to the when the planners or whoever, like maybe a little more too hands off with us, it should be like, hey, this couple paid a lot of money and they're really excited for this.
Well,
and I'm sure that if they knew that maybe you were not very communicative with us, they would not be very happy.
That's what I was kind of trying to say earlier, is that, it's really a disservice to your couple if you're treating any vendor as less than, because they're the couple's vendor, just like you are. And it's just not appropriate. But before we start getting too much ranting, I think that about covers it. Hopefully you guys are all still listening to this. I think hopefully no one's offended. I don't know why you would be, because we got so many of the similar comments on the survey. But like I said, all of this, including the tip discussion we just had, all of this is just our opinion, man. That's it. That's all it is. It's not anything for you to go home and change your whole business around because you heard on some random podcast, whatever. We're just trying to have, you know, the whole point of our show is there wasn't a show like this. And we have had so many of the same discussions with our colleagues and things. And I just wanted to have something out there that maybe people can share if they feel like somebody else needs to hear it. That's it.
Yeah, it's just our opinion. And like I said, our goal is to try to promote a more professional environment for painters. And that goes both ways, because while we're trying our best, we're hoping that other people would do the best too. And just like I said, like I do, if you have a planner you love working with and you think they're really great, make sure that you tell them and make sure that you say, hey, you're really great at what you do. I really appreciate it, because maybe I get these instances where, you know, a lot of these new people have been coming out of the woodwork, and I just want to let you know that I put you on a level above that, and that you've just been really great. And I think people love to hear that kind of stuff.
As a former planner, it is, like I said before, it's similar to when I was a teacher. It is an incredibly thankless job.
It's very thankless.
You have the most responsibility at that wedding. If anything goes wrong at that wedding, it's your ass. And nobody says thank you. All they do is I forget, there's like a phrase of this. It's like, I'm going to really come after you if something's wrong. But if you do something right, I'm not going to say anything. You know, I worked my butt off, and I had a couple weddings in particular where I was very sick, and the bride very loudly gave everyone tips in front of me and did not give me one. And she just hated me. And it's a very thankless job. So anything I just said, obviously I know planners have very hard jobs, very, very hard jobs. So I don't say any of this to say any of that, but like I said, all of this stuff is just kind of, this is our opinion. Hopefully there's something in there that was relevant to you or helpful for you, or maybe just made you feel heard or seen with stuff that you've dealt with. And like we say every week, I would love to hear what you all thought about this. I know this one was like a little bit different because we kind of did all the comments like bing, bang, boom, and didn't talk about them all, but they were all in such a similar theme. I didn't really think that it warranted doing it that way.
It's kind of an amorphous subject that involves people of different, you know, planners and other vendors, and this, like, the subject of professionalism. So there's a lot of, it's hard to just not, you know, ramble a little bit about stuff, but I'm glad we did, because it sounds like everything we've said has really lined up with a lot of thoughts that we've heard that you've all had.
Mm-hmm.
And, for sure. You know, if you like really disagree with us too, let us know that. We always like to, we always like to hear that too. So,
and with that being
said, not too much though.
With that being said, hopefully you all are not canceling me, because I know I can get really heated about this subject. And hopefully
local
local
Orlando wedding painter hates wedding planners.
Well,
that's gonna be...
No, it's called local wedding painter's wife, who is very opinionated and does all of his business stuff, hates wedding.
You're a planner. You're allowed to say this stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, all that being said, hopefully that mishmash of the last two episodes of us talking had some kind of relevance or resonated with you in some way. And we hope that you enjoyed it. So we'll see you next week. And that's about it.
See you next time. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Live Painter Podcast. Keep painting, keep learning, keep growing, and if you're not an artist or an event pro, we hope you keep listening. We appreciate you. To find out more about the Live Painter Podcast, you can visit livepainterpodcast.com or at Live Painter Podcast on Instagram. You can also feel free to email us with any questions or comments to livepainterpodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about Jamie and myself, you can visit our website at eventpaintingbyjamie.com. That is eventpaintingbyjamie.com. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll see you next time.